We are here with the, basically, I want to say the British Ashton Kutcher, if you will.
Oh, that's a good start.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could be today. Could be just because of the, you know, his attire.
You mean like look-wise?
This is a visual thing, or
it's a career thing.
Yeah, okay. I hope it's not a career thing, because no offense. Well, obviously offense taken, but you have a career, actually, that is.
To be fair, I've been recognized and people think that I'm Ashton Kutcher on a few occasions.
Oh, really?
He's probably the person I get mistaken for.
And what do you do when someone mistakes you?
Yeah, I go for it. I just can't. Of course.
No, do you really? Have you gone along with it and just been like...
I may have signed a couple of autographs. You know, I kind of squiggled an A and a bit of squiggle after that.
You're like, how do I spell my name? That is the voice of Jim Sturgess, who is currently on the show Hard Sun on Hulu.
Yeah.
Which comes out today.
Today, yeah.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh, it's exciting.
He is a British fella. Mm-hmm. And you also may know him from one of the best movies of all time, Across the Universe, as well as 21... The Way Back, Cloud Atlas, Geostorm most recently.
Yes.
And I accosted him at a party, and I said, you got to come onto the podcast. And here he is.
And I was drunk, and I stupidly agreed, and here we are.
Yeah, exactly.
And mentally ill man.
Hey, what happens?
So, no, not at all. I was very excited to be here.
Good.
Yeah, thank you for being
so
here.
So what? So we'll get into his show in a second.
Well, Matt's parents are snowed in.
Yeah, they are. They rented Lady Bird and Daddy's Home too. So that's what's going on in my folks' house right now.
Hopefully they watch them in separate rooms. First of all,
Oh, no. They have separate bedrooms.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was wondering, before we started, I was asking if we thought Matt's parents would be, you know, he said they were snowed in. I was like, well, this is time for sex, probably for adults. Because a snowstorm, I think even in like innately as a human, it probably...
That brings out the kind of animal...
Yes, I'm sure.
You want to be close and...
Yeah, well, you want to fuck something. The world's ending.
Sorry.
So you want to procreate, or you want to do
something.
Very
Hard Sun, actually.
That
That's what Hard Sun is really about, right?
Is it?
Instead of snow, it's the sun. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's about the end of the world. It's about the people discovering that the world's going to end in 5 years' time.
No way.
So that's kind
of... So there's a lot of fucking.
Something's kind of happening with the sun, and no one quite knows what it is.
Oh, my God.
But the sun is kind of... in trouble, I
so
guess.
Theo and wants to know, is everybody banging then?
So it's basically just a giant sex orgy. Yeah.
Yeah, is there that vibe going on? Like, what starts to happen?
No, not at all. It's more, it couldn't be less like that. Even me and my partner, who are, you know, we play two detectives in the show, we couldn't be further from two people that might want to have sex with each other. It's probably more about whether these two people are going to kill each other rather than sleep.
Yeah, what are you still detecting if the world's ending? Like, who has...
Well, that's kind of what the idea is. It's like, how do you kind of like maintain law and order in a sort of, you know, lawless society?
Wow.
But it's the world may end in 5 years, right?
Yeah, well, the first kind of... It starts off... They're just discovering this information, so they're not even sure if it's true. And they're the only two people that know about it at this point in the story. So that's kind of how it all starts off.
See.
So, it's going to hopefully
develop. Oh, that sounds really good.
Oh, for sure.
Pre-apocalyptic story. The good thing about TV is that you get to spend time with characters. You don't have to sew it up in kind of 2 hours. So you can hopefully, you know, we'll spend time with the planet as the rest of the world catches on that we only have 5 years left.
Isn't pre-apocalyptic just now? Isn't that what you just described?
Pretty
like every
timely.
Day?
Yeah.
Pre-apocalyptic?
I think we're looming. Yeah, I mean, eventually, probably they say that the sun will burn out. So, yeah, I think we are no matter what, we're on a long timeline for the end of it all.
I don't think my parents would bang even if the world was ending.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think
That's
so.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's
Is
sad.
It, though? Do you think sex should kind of be... Maybe you cut it off at a certain age. Yeah,
that's fair enough. Put on a DVD instead.
Aren't you, you're turning 40 soon, right?
Yeah,
you
man,
really
very
is.
Soon.
So
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so wow. This is what we're talking. We're you know, preparing you
Am
for
I
what's
getting to
happen.
That place already? Yeah. Oh, no. That's terrible.
No. We're all the same age here, actually.
Yeah, you don't look 40, man. You look younger than that.
No.
I do, yeah. I mean, if I shave my beard, I look 15, 16 maybe? Yeah.
You know, there was a man in Indiana who was 31 years old, and he didn't have a lot of friends or something, and he had like a syndrome where he was very small, you know, and he re-enrolled himself in a middle school. and he went to school. He went to school for like 2 months.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah, it sounds like an 80s comedy.
Okay, well, it's not a movie. It's some man's life.
Okay.
Wow, man.
So if you guys don't want to respect this man's life, that's fine. But what I'm saying is one of his teachers saw him driving a truck over the weekend one time, and that's how they busted him. That's a true story.
Wow, that's a good story.
So, okay. You know, there could be a lot of future roles out there for you. If you stay looking young.
Yeah, right.
I'm just going to say this as if he's not here.
Oh, really?
Like, really do. Like, a lot.
Like, what are you talking about?
No, like, I love...
Yeah, me too, dude. Is this a Me Too thing?
No, this isn't a Me Too.
I'm not getting involved in that.
Like, I love him. Like, crush love.
Well, we're in the basement of a building, dude. And he's right there. This is how this kind of shit starts.
I mean, I have been a fan of his work, not only, but you're adorable. He's adorable.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, man, if you want to eat at night, if you're walking around your apartment and you're hungry and you got nothing to eat,
yeah.
Well, that can be different. HelloFresh is what it's called. It's a meal kit delivery service, and it shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes in pre-measured ingredients. You get this sack. It has a name of the meal on the side. You open it up. All the elements are right in there.
And I know you're a huge fan. You've been living on it.
I have it in my system right now. I probably have about, I'm not joking, maybe 40 grams of HelloFresh in
it. What is your go-to meal? What's your favorite that you've gotten so far from HelloFresh?
I had a chicken sausage orzo, like pesto orzo kind of thing the other day. It was really good.
What's good too is I'm not a cook by any means, but yeah. I can take something like this and take it. I mean, the directions are there for you and it's pretty simple, right?
Yeah,
so I can just make something.
Oh, yeah. It's recipes
even though
for dummies.
I don't know how to cook.
It's recipes for dummies. Like the only way they can make it any easier if they sent a really small person in the bag with it to make it for you. And that's illegal.
I don't think they do that.
Well, it's illegal also because of sex trafficking.
Oh, right. Well, there are many benefits to subscribing to HelloFresh.
Mm-hmm.
So you can keep enjoying HelloFresh week after week. You'll spend less time at the grocery store.
Oh, yeah,
I'm imagining you're spending less time there.
Oh, definitely. Look, you don't even ever have to leave your house and you could eat for the rest of your life.
And it's an easy, manageable thing, right?
Oh, it's
just they deliver it to your door.
Get online, pick your meals, wait at the house. The meals come from the mailman. Eat your meals.
Okay, so if you go to HelloFresh.com. Use the promo code allegedly, ALLEGEDLY30. You're going to become one of the HelloFresh family.
Yep, you're going to become one of our HelloFresh family. You're going to get some really sweet discounts over there. So you go to HelloFresh.com and use the promo code allegedly30, ALLEGEDLY30. Now, do you get that word a lot? Because, yeah, you do have like a, you, I mean, obviously you're attractive male.
No, I get sort of dark, mysterious, dangerous, edgy.
Do you get that, really?
Adorable. No,
I could see,
I wish.
If you were in some, like a dark jacket and stuff, I could see that, you know, that kind of motif, kind of a, you know, some freelance Voldemort kind of, like a, kind of a Detroit Voldemort.
Voldemort.
But do you get like, and it's not an offensive.
I get that a lot, actually, Detroit Voldemort.
Do you get
the
adorable?
Ashton Kutcher, Detroit Voldemort kind of combo mix, mashup.
Yeah, you nailed it.
But look, people get different words,
yeah,
you know? I get handsome. That means you're going to be an eight. The best you're ever going to be is an eight. And
handsome's
that's
good, though, isn't it? Handsome's
great. Good.
Yeah, handsome's
it's from
good.
My mom, usually. and that's true, but it's good.
Yeah, like, I don't get sexy ever.
No.
Like, you probably don't get sexy.
No.
But I would use sexy to describe him.
Oh, that's good. Okay, yeah, because I do get cute and adorable. I get those kind of words.
Right,
you know, adorable. Every guy wants, you know.
I don't know if the accent helps for adorable or helps for sexy, or it's a little bit of both. What do you think, Theo?
It's hard for me to think about this kind of stuff.
No, Theo, I want to know. What do you think?
Yeah, Theo.
Does the accent help for...
Does it make him more adorable or does it make him sexier?
I don't think it. I think it probably makes him sexier, honestly. I'm thinking if I was a woman, that might
be
something I would
say. You can look at him. You don't have to look at me.
I know he's over there. I know he's over there. I already looked at him once. I've looked at him enough.
We're trying to make him as comfortable as possible. Anyway.
So what can
wait,
we...
I have a score sheet in front
yes,
of me. Will you explain to me how this works?
So basically, you can award points or deduct points at will. The only thing we ask is that you say it out loud when you award a point and tell us why you're awarding that point.
Okay. All right. Can you deduct points too?
Yes, as much as you want.
Okay. All right. Good.
But you shouldn't be thinking, maybe on Theo's side, you should be thinking that way, but not for me. I mean, I've been very flattering.
You have been. No, no, that's true.
So,
all
but
right,
it's
I'll
still a blank score
I'll
sheet.
I'll give you a plus.
Okay, you got a point there.
What the fuck? You can't just ask for points. He always does this, bro. He
it
asks
works.
For points. And it does.
Hey, it works. I got a point and you don't. So, okay, so let's talk about Hard Sun, which
is. Yeah, I want to talk about that. It's really,
not adorable.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not adorable in that.
It's
I mean,
gloomy,
I'm far from it. Yeah,
doomy.
Yeah. Well, I play a kind of corrupt policeman who does some pretty questionable things throughout the show. So, yeah, I think I may upset a few people along the way.
Really?
But it's interesting because you kind of you kind of walk this line between not really knowing where you kind of place this guy and whether you like this guy, whether this guy is a bad character, whether you're sort of on his side. And it gets complicated, which is what's exciting about the show, definitely.
I don't think I could dislike you in anything. I really don't.
Okay.
Like, I saw the
you
movie.
You said something similar to that a minute ago.
The horror movie with the heart.
Oh, you saw that
I
movie?
Saw that.
Wow,
I saw Stonehurst
you saw that film.
Asylum.
Okay.
I see it all, dude.
Oh,
I'm
good,
like,
man.
I'm there. All
right.
I'm
wait,
in
five,
all the
plus
way.
Plus 5 points.
Oh.
Fine. Give him the points. That's
and
fine.
And that was kind of dark, that movie. The what was it called? The heart one?
Yeah, it was a dark movie, but the character was kind of, he was
yeah,
a sweet soul,
he was
you know
a sweet
what I mean?
Soul.
He was a troubled young sweet soul. But
yeah,
in this, yeah, I'm definitely do some questionable things.
Well, that's sexy too.
And was that nice to be able to get into something like that? I mean, is it like, do you see yourself as you start to, you know, grow up in this industry? Do you see yourself like that you get offered kind of different spots or you kind of grow in to be able to take on different characters? Have you noticed anything like that or no?
Yeah, I feel blessed. I've always being able to play a variety of different characters. I've always been really pleased about that. That, you know, people don't ever sort of just put me in one kind of category. And that's been amazing. You know, I mean, it's always nice to play the complete opposite of what you've just done. You know, you're always looking for reaction from the work that you've just done to sort of find something new and different, you know.
There's a giant billboard on Sunset, by the way.
Really? I just saw it today coming here. Yeah.
For the first time?
For the first time.
Oh, what does that make you feel?
It always feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I guess
it means
that was
somebody
a dumb
out
question.
There knows that you've made something. I mean, yeah, I make a lot of independent films where you definitely don't get a giant billboard.
Right,
so,
right.
So when you do get a giant billboard, it feels pretty exciting.
Ooh, hymns.
No, Matt, it's not a place where you can meet dudes, bro.
What is it?
It's a place you can go if you're a guy and you're having some problems.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
And you want to solve them.
You want to solve them. And part of the problem, I think, in men's health these days is men are, and I know in my family too, are too macho to go to the doctors or to admit that something's wrong, and they get nervous, and so they won't do it. But something where you go to HIMS, which is a place where you can get help for sexual performance issues, for hair loss.
Oh, yeah. If you're missing hair, if you're missing erections, you can get it there.
Yeah, you can. And you can do it privately and get the help. I think that a lot of people go without the help because they're just too proud to do it, right?
Yeah, don't be running around with that soft weenie. You know what I'm saying? You could freaking grow your hair out. You could do whatever you want, dude. You could have cornrows and a solid erection in just a couple of weeks, pretty much. So you can go to forhims.com. That's forhims.com/Theo. And you can try HIMS for a month today for just $5.
Wow. $5.
$5, man. You know, you've probably spent $5 on yourself before, haven't you?
I have. I mean, and something like this would normally cost hundreds of dollars if you went to the pharmacy, if you went to the doctor.
Oh, yeah. If you at the pharmacy, the doctor, you running all these crazy pills, you at the gas station buying them, you know, rhinoceros pills to get your wiener right at night. You know, those things made my nose bleed down in Miami one time.
It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, just for men. Forhims.com/Theo.
That's it. Forhims.com/Theo.
Now, when I was reading about the show, I read that the creator said that he referenced the relationship between you two a little bit like moonlighting.
Yeah, which I've not seen.
I was going to ask, do you remember Moonlighting with Cybill Shepherd and Bruce Willis in the 80s?
Nope.
TV show? Mm-mm. Made Bruce Willis famous?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Yeah, this keeps coming up. I feel like I need to watch it.
But it's a comedy. It's a lighthearted kind of like comedy, which is interesting that I saw that reference.
Is it pre-apocalyptic or no? It's mainly
just apocalyptic. Aspect of Bruce Willis's career.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Sorry, Bruce. No, he's an asshole. I've met him before and he's an asshole. Okay, sorry. Whatever. Now I'm feeling weird.
Well, that's how you've always felt since I met you. Do you feel like... I want to ask you this. Do you feel like the what your character does in Hard Sun are the same things you would kind of do if you were in this position and you had this new information?
I mean, yeah, certainly. There's elements of it because, I mean, it's all about what would you do if you realize this is really happening. And for my character, it's all about protecting the people that he loves, and he'll do anything.
Wow.
And nothing will sort of stand in his way. So he bends and breaks a lot of rules in order to... for what he believes is the greater good, which is to sort of protect his family. But then his partner is kind of thinking slightly more of the bigger picture, you know, and she's trying to protect, I guess, the world.
Wow.
And trying to sort of keep the information in their power so that the government can't fuck with them too much, you know.
She's very pretty. You would like her.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think
so.
Agnes is great, yeah. She was a model back in the UK for a long time.
And her name's Agnes?
Agnes Dean, yeah.
Well, now she just broke the mold of every girl you've ever thought of named Agnes.
That's true. Like. No, it is.
Because usually it's like, oh, Agnes.
Yeah, right. No, this is a Agnes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is an Agnes.
Look, are you tired of luggage that doesn't fit your vibe? Because I was. I always had a bag that was too big, or it wasn't on the go as quick as I was. It wasn't as rough and tumble as your boy was. It wasn't keeping up with me. And then everything changed because I got the bag from awaytravel.com. The bag that I'm talking about is the bigger carry-on. That's the one that I use. It's perfect. Fits in the overhead bins. You can also get the carry-on, the medium, or the large. But awaytravel.com has the best luggage, and you get it at a price that's fit for you because they don't have to send it to a store. You can't go to a store and just get it. That's not helpful. You go to awaytravel.com and bing, bang. You get it. That's how you get that Away Travel bag. And the craziest thing about it is a lot of times you'll get to your destination, your phone's dying because you've been playing games on the plane. Not anymore. There's a charger built into the Away Travel suitcase. You just, boom, put it right in, and da-dang, you're ready to rock. The interior features a patent-pending compression system that's helpful for overpackers. If you like me, sometimes you might be going to the desert, but you still bring 9 different hats or 11 pairs of socks, even though you're just going for the afternoon. That's what I do. Both sizes of the carry-on are able to charge all cell phones, tablets, e-readers, and anything else that is powered by a USB cord. A single charge of the Away carry-on will charge your iPhone 5 times. 5 tiempos. It's a lifetime warranty. If anything breaks, Away Travel will fix it or replace it for you for life. And right now you can get a 100-day trial. So for 100 days you can live with it, vibe with it, travel with it, Instagram it, whatever. You can do whatever you want with it and still get a full refund within 100 days, no questions asked. There's free shipping on any Away order within the lower 48 states. If you see me in any airport, I will have my Away suitcase. It's by my side. It's like my pet. It has become like my pet. And right now, we have a special offer for our listeners. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/Matt, M-A-T-T, and use promo code MATT during checkout. That's right. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/Matt and use promo code MATT during checkouts. You'll love it. Now, back to the show.
Was there like, did your character have a lot of is there like a lot of selfishness then? Like, does it seem like, because if the world's ending, I'm thinking, I guess you'd want, like, yeah, would I be selfish? I'm just trying to wonder
how I
behave.
Here's a question. You, Jim, you, Theo, the world's ending in 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in 5 years, what do you do with those 5 years versus if the world was ending this weekend? So what would you do in those 5 years, you, Jim?
Yeah, well, that's why it's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
5 years is quite an interesting amount of time.
Yeah.
Because when people discover that kind of information, it would ultimately break into total chaos, I would imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
But then people will get used to the concept and
the
idea.
Because it's not tomorrow.
Because 5 years is,
that's,
you know,
so
you got to live with it for a period of time. And then things would kind of settle down, I imagine, and you kind of get used to this concept and this idea.
Right.
And then it becomes really interesting.
Like, I don't think I'd quit my job because I still need to make money for those 5 years. Yeah, I mean, life needs to carry on.
And some people will, I mean, that's kind of what the show does. It questions, like, some people will want to maintain law and order and keep a civilized, you know, society. And some people will want to break out into ultimate chaos and just destroy and destruct. And some people will turn to religion. Some people will turn their back on religion.
Wow.
Some people, you know, there's so many different perspectives of how you perceive yourself and your life and life in general that it will be so
ask the question
conflicting.
Yeah. What would you do?
Yeah, what would you do? Honestly, Jay.
In 5 years?
In 5 years.
5 years.
If I told you 5 years from today, world's over, that's it. What would you do?
And everybody doesn't know, except...
Oh, except you're the only people that know.
Well, that's a good question. Will you set the parameters a little bit, Matt? Because
no,
that gives
I think
us...
everybody knows.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I guess I would travel a lot. You know, we just want to see as much of the planet that is about to disappear as possible.
Good. Cliche.
How? By
good.
Boat? By what? The airport's going to be packed.
The airport's already packed.
Right, the airport's already packed, dude, and the world isn't ending. People are just trying
to... The pilot's like, I'm not flying up there, man. I'm not... I mean, I'm
people
not
are just trying to get to Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay, travel. What else?
I would break into, like, historic, well-known buildings.
There you go.
That'd be very Nicolas Cage of you, man. Now we're talking.
I would get a football team together and play at Wembley. I would, like, play a game of tennis at Wimbledon or something. I would...
I'm picturing this now.
Will you kill someone, you think?
I would, like... Would I kill someone? No, definitely not.
Why would that 5-year
I have no drive or desire to kill anybody.
Would you if...
Oh, okay. Sorry.
See, this is what I'm talking about. These are the conflicting perspectives that I'm talking about.
That's what... Honestly...
Theo would kill and go on a rampage and, you know, I would
make
sure...
I would follow you around as you were putting your rugby team together.
He doesn't need an assistant. The world's ending, okay?
Somebody still has to take care of the day-to-days.
No, but what I... Here's what... Honestly, if I knew the world was ending and I knew... Because here's where that comes from for me, is if I knew how somebody else would behave, knowing that they only have 5 years left and they're an evil person... And I know how they're going to behave.
Yeah.
Then would I feel more of a responsibility? Because that timeline on some people is going to turn them into, you know, just
like purgy, like people going crazy and doing terrible things.
There would be people just I'm just going to rape as many women.
That's what happens in the show. People go twisted. You know, it sort of turns everybody's behavior up to 11. You know, it's like everybody's inbuilt sort of darkness or lightness or whatever just gets amplified and turns extreme, you know. So extreme behavior starts happening for sure.
So if we changed it and we said the world is going to end tomorrow, what would you do right now?
Yeah, I mean, you got 24 hours, so can't travel.
Yeah, what's...
You can FedEx yourself somewhere if they're still working.
You can Postmates yourself somewhere.
Well, people wouldn't be thinking about that, FedExing yourself.
I don't know what I would... What would you do?
I mean, I would
be honest,
run
man.
Home if I could to Pennsylvania. Like I would.
Oh my God!
Well, I'm saying man, the highways are clogged.
Bro, the highways are clogged. I would do whatever.
And you
don't
have a trainer right now, do you?
Bad to my family. Whatever I had to do.
Okay, so you would end up out.
See, I'm screwed because I'm in LA and my family are all in London.
Yeah, that's screwed.
Matt, you would die in Oklahoma.
So yeah, at least yeah. Sorry, Mom.
I'd be dead.
I'm gonna go
like...
on a drunken bender. I mean, I would come home, but you know.
Ooh, drunken bender might be good too.
You'd have
to drink.
Most people
would do that, wouldn't they?
I think most people would. Yeah, it depends. Well, I think you'd have some like people who would want to be like right there for that moment of feeling what it all feels like, and then some of complete fear of like. A lot of people would. Would you kill yourself before? That's
some
what I wonder.
Would, I'm
no,
sure.
I would want to see.
Yeah, I would.
How
I would,
it is?
You know, go down with everyone. I
think. Would you copulate consensually?
Dude, I'd copy. Honestly,
he's like 24 hours. That's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, I would try. I think at that point, everything would be so. You would lose this like. Courting goes out the window. It's,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's not like I'm going to meet you at 9 and then let's do a second date at 1 p.m. So I think it would just be like,
I'll take you for a really quick dinner. We'll down a bottle of wine, but like super fast.
Yeah, right?
Oh, it would be like, do you want to fuck? You know, like it would be kind of like a little bit begging.
Is Oliver
Twist
there?
It would
is
be,
that?
Yeah. Well, I think you'd have to come at it with an angle because everybody's going to be asking it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay.
So people are
I would have more balls if I knew that I would say, okay.
Well, no, obviously it would make sexual advances for him.
Stop it.
He didn't do anything. You're a creep in a basement right now.
It's who you are.
I'm going to put a wall.
I wanted to know where that was going.
No, I mean, non-consensually, but I would have the balls to put whatever I wanted to do out there further.
Yeah, yes. It's blatantly obvious, you pervert. It's like you're hiding.
The world's not ending tomorrow? This is the whole thing.
So what type? So say if there's a show that I have, you know, and not to like compare it to other shows, but, you know, other shows, because this is really interesting. We've had a few actors that have come in and been on series, and none of them really a lot of times have. Who's the gentleman that came in with the guy who was like the mysterious series that was on Amazon where he was like behind the eight ball, the crystal ball?
Oh, Jeffrey Donovan from, no.
Yeah, Jeffrey
from
Donovan.
From Shut-Eye?
Yeah. That sounded really, really cool. And I watched probably maybe half of that first season. But this show sounds really neat. Like, what other shows would people see and they're like, this is one that if you're in that world.
Who would like this that likes, what would they, people who should watch this, what else
Thank
would
you.
They like?
You could be my assistant, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
So, what, say that again?
So people who would watch this show,
what Hot Sun.
Yeah, who do you think is that audience? Who do you think would appeal? What other shows do these people watch?
I don't know. You know, it's quite violent. It's quite dark.
Really?
You know, yeah. And it's,
people are going to love it then.
But it's got a big concept, so it makes you think. I mean, Neil Cross is a very well-acclaimed writer back in the UK.
Yeah.
And he did a show called Luther. Yeah. Which people are very excited about back home. I don't know if it's a big show here.
Luther Vandross?
No. Definitely not, no. It's a thing with the...
I would watch that miniseries, though, about Luther Vandross.
I don't know who that is, really.
Yes, you do. He's a big singer guy. Okay.
But no, Luther is a thing with Idris Elba. Yeah, who plays a detective in London.
He doesn't Luther. Know anybody.
Oh, you know what? I've seen A Raisin in the Sun. Have you guys seen that?
No.
It's really good. With who's that guy?
What does that have to do with it?
I like the title.
A Raisin in the Sun, the Tennessee Williams play?
Yeah,
or whatever.
But who's the man that's in it? He's in the Heat of the Night in the original.
Oh, Sidney Poitier.
Sidney Poitier.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I love him. Okay. He's British, isn't he?
No.
Is he? I have no idea.
He's not.
A lot of people think he is.
He's not just you.
I doubt that.
Anthony, you don't even know who he is.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
This is great.
Okay, sorry. This is getting out of line. But it seems like, do you think that there are more like shows being created in this world? Because, I mean, obviously people love shows that like kind of have a lot of violence or a lot of doom or a lot of end of the world in them, you know?
Yeah they do. They do. Yeah, Neil Cross, the writer, I heard, I'm going to steal his answer because I heard him like talk about it the other day, but he was just saying like, it's interesting because it breaks all the day-to-day stuff, which is why people are interested in these kind of apocalyptic stories, is that all the day-to-day stuff like paying the bills, picking up your kids from school, all that stuff just goes out of the window and it all becomes about who would you be in that moment. Are you a hero? Are you a villain? Are you? And people kind of attach themselves to the fantasy of that idea where all the day-to-day stuff just kind of disappears. And I thought that was a really interesting reason for why people kind of attach themselves to these shows or are excited about these kind of shows.
I wonder...
It forces you to kind of really look at who you are.
Because I bet a lot of people... I mean, I think I actually wouldn't know what I would really do unless I was in that situation. Like, I would think I'd be one person.
Yeah, everybody kind of fantasizes about what they might do. Yeah.
How many Instagram models would have no clue who they are?
That's a good point. That's a good one.
That's so crazy.
You're right.
But yeah, I don't know. It's so funny. Even hearing you say that and to say Neil's answer, I don't know. I mean, I like to think that I would be.
Yeah, I think most people would like to think they're some kind of hero.
Some kind of hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then how quick from whenever you see that there's so many other heroes going on, does your hero fade and then you know.
Yeah. But also, like, there's a lot of stuff that's post-apocalyptic, but this is kind of pre-apocalyptic, which is really interesting, I think.
Yeah, right. That's really neat.
You know, just watching how society is going to sort of adapt and...
okay, so Hard Sun, how many episodes is it?
There's six.
Oh.
Six for the first season, yeah.
And have you seen all of them?
Yeah, because it's already been out in the UK.
Oh, wow.
So it came out on the BBC in the UK, and it's just finished there, and now it's coming out here.
Wow. Are you nervous? Yeah. Are you nervous? Like, do you get nervous when a project is about, especially, like, the American audience?
Yes and no. You sort of feel slightly detached from it all. You're just hopeful that it kind of goes well and that people, you know, watch it and get excited about it. But there's also, like, it's something that you did a while ago, and it's sort of, there's a weird sort of detachment that you have with it at the same time.
Yeah, you probably have to.
In a healthy way, in a good way, you know.
Do you feel like a different level of, like, personally, do you feel a different level of success or achievement if it does well here or there? You know, that being your home and this being, you know, your new home but where you work?
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, actually, in a weird way, because it's a British show, it's all set in London, I'm really interested to see how that gets taken here, you know, and how people kind of respond to that. And And cinematically, it's really exciting to see my city on screen looking amazing, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, kids growing up in London, we watch a lot of shows coming out of America, and we watch a lot of stuff
in New York. What did you watch?
And people in England are obsessed with the mafia and New York and gangs and all that kind of stuff. And then from conversations that I've had with American people, there's a kind of reverse where they... you know, they have a sort of exotic idea of London through cinema, you know.
Yeah.
Whether that be...
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, I feel like everybody's just leaving clues everywhere.
It's either period
or
it's a sort of period thing, or it's a sort of regal thing, like a royal thing.
Yeah.
But which is why Hard Sun is exciting for me, because it shows a much grittier, real London.
Wow.
And it's not some crappy sort of Guy Ritchie gangster movie. You know, it's a sort of, you know, it's got some...
What shows did you watch growing up, American shows?
I mean, just movies, man. You know, just all the American movies from E.T. to...
Drop Dead Fred.
Drop Dead Fred.
Oh, he was British, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, that was Rick Mayall, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's Rick Mayall, who's a really famous British comedian.
Oh.
Yeah. Who was in a show called The Young Ones, which I grew up on.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a point for knowing that guy was British. He had on face paint.
I don't know. He's not giving you one, so okay. Maybe not.
Oh, no, a point. So, a point, yes.
I've never asked for a point either.
I'll give you 2 points for that.
Boom, boom.
Oh, that's it. So London is home now, yeah?
London's always been home, yeah. And it was so exciting for me just to shoot something. It's rare that I've done a film anything that is in London.
Wow.
Heartless was in London, but we shot a lot of that in a place called the Isle of Man. A lot of the times you'll get a script.
I've been in that aisle a few times.
I think that's just Santa Monica Boulevard you're talking about.
I know that place over in West Hollywood.
But now you get a script and it's like, oh, great, cool, this is set in London. It's like, no, we're going to shoot this in the Isle. We're going to build London in the Isle of Man. It's cheaper.
It's cheaper.
And the Isle of Man is this tiny little island just off the coast of near kind of Liverpool around there. Uh-huh. And it's an interesting place, but it's not London.
No. Wow. So what's like a... when you're not working, what's your life like in London?
Pretty low key these days.
Do people recognize you and stuff out there?
Occasionally. I mean, not as much as you might think. Yeah, I mean, occasionally. People in London are kind of like people in New York, you know, they kind of just leave you to it. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time. I mean, I just, you know, hang around the streets of London, begging for change.
Oh, another Oliver Twist reference.
excuse me, sir. Well,
what was the first, like, role that you played on stage as a child?
On stage as a child?
Or did you get into acting that way?
No, it was, the very first thing I did was Wind in the Willows.
Oh,
yeah,
Mr. Toad.
They came to our school and they said, do any of your kids want to audition for the show? And we were all like, can we get out of class? And they were like, yep. And we're like, yeah, I want to be in it. Please, please, please. And I got picked as one of the kids.
And when you got picked, was it very like, were the other kids cool with you getting picked? Like, was it okay to be...
I mean, there was a lot of us that got picked. And I was probably like field mouse number 3 or 2 or something. It wasn't like a...
It wasn't like Billy Elliot then.
No. But it was the first time that I'd ever been picked for something. And then I went onto a professional stage. It was a professional show.
Wow.
And, you know, we were young. We were sort of, you know, 7, 8 years old.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, wow, this is incredible. This is an amazing experience. And for the first time, my teachers were like, oh, he seems to, like, be paying attention. Like,
because I was, you know.
So something clicked.
Yeah, and then I think my mum and dad were like, oh, he likes this. Oh, good. Like, finally, something that's kind of.
But did they at all sway you, like, this is a tough career to go into?
No, and they were never like that, ever, ever.
Did you feel when you're on the stage?
I think they were pleased that I was just interested in doing something.
Yeah, fair enough.
Interested in something besides the Isle of Man, huh?
That comes later.
It's interesting to me, like, I'm thinking about, you know, just as a child myself, even just doing, like, you know, some school play or something when I was a kid, you know, and being on stage, I felt... You know, I think at that point there's probably two different ways that kids feel. Some kids probably feel just so much pressure from the audience, and some kids probably feel a little bit more like,
for sure,
I'm okay up here.
Definitely.
You know?
No, I remember really clearly. It was the first time something sort of made sense or something sort of felt positive. You know,
right.
I remember feeling really excited, and it was just an electric time. And I enjoyed being part of a kind of company as well, like a theatre company, and all kind of working towards putting something up on the stage.
Oh, wow. You know, so you kind of felt the group, you felt some team, some camaraderie.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you know you could sing at that point? Were you singing as a kid? He's got a lovely voice.
Only in the school, only in the chorus line, you know what I mean? I was never kind of out at the front. I was always at the back. You know.
And then you like so, and then you started a band, right? You were.
I started a band at 15. Yeah.
Wow. Huh. I was never that cool. I was in band, which is quite different than starting a band.
Yeah,
I was in chorus. Yeah, people did not.
Is that band camp? Is that
pretty much? Yeah,
one time at band camp
called the same thing.
A band and being in band.
Why are those two things called the same thing?
Yeah, no, it's not cool.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Do you still are you still playing music? And
I still play a lot of music. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. No, it's a big part of. I mean, it's certainly it's the first thing I kind of. Put my head into the minute I'm not working on a film set, you know. Wow. And most of my friends are musicians, and I spend a lot of time with musicians and in the music world, you know. So yeah, we write a lot of stuff and never finish any of it. That's kind of how it seems to work.
It sounds like a band. I have a question. Oh, you're going, Matt?
I was just going to ask, and this is not for personal thing, but are you single?
No, I'm not single. Oh, no.
Fuck.
Sorry,
I
mean, dude.
Oh, I have a question too. Is it Agnes?
No.
It's not Agnes. Oh, so
she's a married woman.
Oh, damn, dude. This story's getting worse and worse in here.
Oh, well, good. No.
I have an amazing girlfriend. Well, she's beautiful, yeah.
That's cool. And where did you meet said lady?
We sort of had two meetings in a weird way. We met a friend of mine was having a leaving drinks because she was moving to Italy. Mm-hmm. And I met her for the very first time then. It was our mutual friend, and we spoke for maybe like half an hour, whatever, an hour or something. And I remember thinking, yeah, I really fancy that girl.
Wow.
And then I didn't see her for about a year, 2 years. And then I bumped into a friend again, had written and directed a play, and it was the opening night of her play, and I was really hungover, and I nearly didn't go. And another friend of mine was like, you have to come. It's Bryony's play. You got to be there. You got to come. So I dragged myself from my couch and took myself to the theater. And then, met her again. Wow. And I was like, we met before. And
did you remember?
She thought my name was Tom.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
But here's a second question. Did Tom make a good impression on her?
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, I remember you, Tom, right?
You're like, yes, yes, I am.
If you want, I can be Tom. So yeah, she still thinks I'm called Tom, so hopefully
that's good.
Is she an actress?
She's not, no. She does a lot of amazing stuff. She works in theatre, in sort of behind the scenes. And she does a lot of divisive theatre with refugees, and she, you know, goes to a lot of the camps in Calais and Beirut, and does divisive theatre with
doing background work for Hard Sun. It sounds like. Sorry, that joke was just timely.
And she's just released a cookbook.
Oh, really?
Which is really exciting. Yeah.
Well, how can people?
Which
get
you
it?
Can get now in America.
Yeah, let's get that. You know what? I'll buy a copy for a friend. What's it called?
It's called Our Syria: Recipes from Home.
Alice.
No, Our. O-U-R.
Our.
Sorry. As in our.
Sorry.
I was trying to not do it in my English accent so that you would understand.
R. Okay.
Our Syria.
Our Syria.
Recipes from home. That's what it's called.
Our Syria. Recipes from home.
Recipes from home.
Yes. Got it.
And all the recipes you gathered just from working with these different groups of people?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So she was meeting all these incredible women, and they were all cooking them food and telling their stories. And she thought, we should make a cookbook out of this.
Wow.
And so they got together. Her best friend is Syrian. She's from Iraq, and her best friend is Syrian. Huh. And they got together and made this amazing cookbook
that's cool.
Full of all these incredible stories, some of them funny, some of them painful and heartfelt, but it's a really colorful, beautiful book celebrating, you know, the Syrian culture through food.
Have you tasted everything in the book?
I've eaten a lot of Syrian food,
I don't even know what Syrian food is.
It's
really?
A lot of stews and
get
I mean,
out
it's...
more.
Sorry,
God.
Okay.
Get the cookbook, man.
Yeah, no, I will. Go. I will.
Okay,
but I don't
look,
even,
we'll happily share the link, man. If you send us a an image and stuff, we'll
post she'll
it up
be stoked, man. She'll be buzzing.
That'd
be
cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like it sounds super positive. And I'm assuming that some of the proceeds, and this might be me jumping, and we can take this out if not, that some of the proceeds go back towards.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
That's cool.
There's a thing called the Hands Up Foundation. Which all their profits from Dina and Itab, who wrote the book, all their profits go to the Hands Up Foundation.
Oh, you got a good girl.
She's pretty special,
man. She's pretty special.
Yeah, what do you admire the most about this lady?
Just that, you know, that she's just proactive and positive, and she's always making me laugh, man. And I think the only time I ever heard her complain was that her face hurt because she was smiling too much. Oh. And I was like, damn, damn.
Jesus. I feel like I'm in one of those. It's one of his romantic comedies now.
Get out. You're trying to be, now you're trying to, yeah. You're trying to be the third act where you sneak in and try to steal a woman. Yeah, you're the nervous busboy that comes up at the wedding.
Yeah, that's the story
no,
of my
she
life.
Sounds like a special lady. That's
so,
cool.
But I would assume as an actor and as like a musician, especially like mm-hmm. a cool kind of like cool musician, like you have not groupies or like fangirls or whatever, but do you get like approached by girls a lot to
yeah, how do you handle the attention, you know? How do you handle the attention? That's a good question because
you don't seem like someone to me. You seem like a very
I spend my life yeah, I know I spend my time private. Getting mistaken for Ashton Kutcher. So it's just a series of disappointments. You know
well,
I mean?
Matt's the one keeps trying to look at your Mila Kunis, dude.
Oh, stop it. Speaking.
But no, do you have some stipulations in your own life that you set? Because, I mean, these days with such access to entertainers, to people, to anyone you want. You know, I mean, I get probably 3-4 Instagram DMs a day probably.
Humble
you know,
brag.
Most of them are from men, honestly. Mm-hmm.
It's right. And it's just me with my different Instagram screen names, actually.
But so I can only imagine. I'm just saying, you probably get a lot of attention. Do you, like, how do you deal with that?
How do you process that?
Yeah, how do you process that?
Yeah, just I guess Instagram is an interesting one because, you know, that people do sort of have some sort of an access. But, I mean, you know, I don't really sort of think about it. I really don't. And the people that come up and approach me are always very respectful, and it's always a very positive experience. So
right.
I've been very lucky.
So you've never gotten some crazy DMs?
I've had a few.
Yeah. Okay, I'll stop saying
it. But so you probably just look at it then as an entertaining thing, and you're able to, because I just think the temptation.
Yeah, there's a boundary, and there's a detachment from it, and it's something, you know, and unfortunately with things like that, some people can be pretty nasty too, and it's almost, it's kind of a hard sun thing as well, you know, some people use that to just be evil and nasty and just say the worst thing that comes into their heads.
Oh, what would happen to social media if people knew the world was going to end?
I mean, I think everybody would
whatever filters left is just gone. Yeah. Or do you think people would just stop doing social media?
No, they'd be selfieing the fucking...
Yeah, you're right.
Here's me and the sun going down.
Live stream.
I'm filming.
Oh, sun, hashtag Sunfie.
Sunfie.
Now, but do you start to now, having gone through that experience and the hard sun and the script and, excuse me, what was the writer's name again?
Neil Cross. Neil. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, just kind of learning about his world and experiencing some of his thoughts. And are you able to look at people now and be like, oh, if they were in a hard sun, they would be this?
Can you judge someone and you could...
Interesting.
See.
Yeah, I mean, I've never thought about that. Huh. But yeah, when you're sitting on the tube, on the train, you know, yeah, you can see some pretty unsavory characters. You think, I bet they've got some darkness in them, man.
Wow.
But you never know.
Could possibly come
or
out.
How much chance of redemption, like somebody who's had the worst life or has made so many poor choices, and then the world's going to end and they have a chance to redeem themselves.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
That's a good storyline. I'm going to write that down.
Sometimes I wish there were like that. Sometimes it would almost be like the rest of your life, like, you know, this, even though life is beautiful, it can be, you know, monotonous, you know, especially for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And they need the kick in the butt a little bit.
Yeah, just to have, if they were like for a month, we're going to live enough. We're going to be alive, you know? Yeah. I wonder if a lot of people would opt into that if you had that choice.
It's interesting because Neil, the writer, was talking again about actually we all live with our own personal apocalypse because we are all eventually going to die, you know.
Spoiler.
So it's kind of like, why do you need this reminder? You
That's
know, actually,
great.
You should be sort of living your life in that kind of a way anyway because, you know, there is a full stop to all of us, you know.
Now, I want to talk about, I made a list. You have been fortunate. I mean, I appreciate a beautiful woman. I do.
Good.
I can recognize beauty.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, Kate Beckinsale would be.
She'll love that.
Kate Beckinsale? My friend dates her, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Number one.
I don't know who she is, though.
Until I met someone else, Amber Heard, who was also gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
But this list, listen to this list of people he's worked with. Kate Beckinsale, Kate Bosworth, Scarlett Johansson, Natalie Portman, Evan Rachel Wood, Amber Heard, Anne Hathaway, Kristen Stewart, Cara Delevingne, Abbie Cornish, Keira Knightley.
Wow.
Damn. Even as a gay man, I like that. Right? No?
Oh, that would turn you back.
Maybe all of them together.
That list, dude. One big Scarlett Joe Knightley. And you're straight again.
Man, very good.
That was funny. No, I mean, personally, you worked with Theo James, who...
He's your bag. He's
dude.
Your bag.
Yes. Like, yes.
He's hot. Feels
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I find in Britain, for me, you know, and for me being a straight male for now, and I may switch to homosexuality when I'm 70 or 80.
Mm-hmm. And you may be in Britain. Things could change.
And I may be in Britain.
Yeah.
And who knows what the exchange rate on that timeline is there.
Okay, exactly.
But what I'm saying is that do you... Fuck, I forgot.
You were doing so well.
All right, I got a question.
I was doing good.
Okay.
It was like a kid learning to
walk.
He's going.
We've lost him.
I was going to say, I feel like the men in Britain were more attractive than the women. And you can probably answer this because those are your own people. Whereas in the U.S., it was the opposite.
Interesting. So you're saying British women are not so attractive?
Yeah, what are you saying?
Yeah, I'm going to back out of this. I'm not going to say anything. Beautiful, beautiful lasses. Oh, I have one more question, so I don't forget it, and then I'm done with questions.
No, we got plenty of questions.
Well, you have more.
Okay.
But I want to say, do you feel like... So we have this celebrity thing in America, right? And celebrity has overtaken, you know, our politicians and everything. Our, you know, former celebrities are becoming politicians. Like, mm-hmm. these worlds have really started to mix.
Yeah.
And one thing I always admired in a weird way about the UK was that... You know, since they have the royal family, it kind of feels like it puts a lid on celebrity. Like you can't get any...
No, you can't. You can't get higher than that.
Right. You can't.
Even in the world, in the universe.
Right. So there was nothing ever... It was like royal family is it.
Yeah.
Whereas if we had that in the U.S., then maybe there would be, you know... So you wouldn't have this...
Kardashian.
Outlandish ability for celebrities to just, you know, monopolize so much attention and so much influence.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you notice anything like that? Like people look at celebrity differently in the different countries?
We have those kind of celebrities in the UK too. You know, we have that whole culture of celebrity and all the magazines, and I'm kind of grateful for them, you know, because it used to be celebrities and people that would get bothered by the paparazzi were musicians and actors, and but now it's just celebrities.
Right.
You know, it's great. You know
it's
what I mean? They love it, and they, you know, so let them get on with it, you know.
Do you follow the royal family?
Not at all.
Really?
I think people outside of the UK are more interested in the royal family.
Really? So interesting.
Than people inside
no
it.
No shit.
I think so, yeah.
I directed a movie with Meghan Markle.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Ah.
I gave her first job.
Really? What kind?
Acting.
Good answer. Good answer. Time's
that's
up.
The princess you're talking about.
yeah,
seriously.
Time's up, brother. Okay.
But the movie that you did do with Theo James and with Amber, right?
Mm-hmm.
London Fields.
London Fields, yeah.
So that... Went through a lot.
Yeah,
where
still
does it
going
stand?
Through a
it's
lot.
Still go. So Amber was in that. So Amber is a dear friend of mine now.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And
yeah, they went to Australia together.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, no,
no
I went
way.
Down and visited her in Australia when
oh, yeah,
she was filming.
Right.
I love Amber, man. She's great.
She's great. I was with her on Saturday night. But I know that there was a lot of issues, like contractually, and there were some suits. So is that movie ever going to see the light of day?
It's a good question. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Does that is it a good movie?
It depends which movie you're watching. I mean, there's two movies, basically.
Wow.
And I'm not legally really allowed to say too much about it, but, you know, I mean, it's common knowledge that there are two conflicting films.
Right. What?
One is a movie that I would feel very proud to be in, and the other one is not.
And you've seen both of them?
I have, yeah.
And so when you...
Does it make you sad when that stuff happens? Like, something you put hard work
really
on?
It's really sad. I mean, it's sad for everybody. I mean, nobody's winning from this experience. Nobody, you know? And it's really sad that people can't sort of put their heads together and collaborate, and it ends up becoming a sort of a battle rather than a good working relationship.
Yeah.
And it's just sad, you know, because everybody, especially the directors and the people who got the money together and all these people that work so hard behind the scenes, and even the people on set every day like we were... You know, and you're doing it because you want to make something, and you want it, and you want everyone to feel good about it. You know,
yeah.
And so, there's no point in making something that nobody feels good about. You know?
And is it money or ego that usually, you know, makes this come to such a bottleneck? What is it?
I don't know. It's the sort of, I mean, I've had sort of experiences where things have changed, and movies that you've made have been sort of tinkered with by producers or whatever. And you know, but this is a sort of another level where. I don't really. It's my first experience of this sort of ever really happening like this. So yeah, it is. It's just a. It's a shame.
When you do films too, and you obviously going into it with the best intention, and then I would assume sometimes it just doesn't, you know, pan out the way that you wanted it to. It's a roulette wheel
every single time. Wow. I mean, you can read the script. You can have it where it sort of ticks all the right boxes, and you try and protect yourself as much as you can. But sometimes it's really nice to sort of throw yourself in the hands of a first-time director, too. I've had great experiences doing that.
I mean, you're someone who does indie films and stuff, and then you do a movie like Geostorm, which is this big end of the world, maybe?
Yeah. It was a sort of
end of the world thing that's, you know, a big Hollywood movie. Do you do that because it affords you to be able to do some of the other stuff, or are you just into it, or...?
It's a bit of sort of everything. I did it because I was genuinely excited to be asked to be in it. You know, like, you know, Warner Brothers asked if I would consider it, and that's a big deal for me, you know. And
that's all it takes. I've got a couple of films that I'd like to offer you some parts of.
Do you work for Warner Brothers?
No.
Close, though.
No, but, and I, you know, as an actor, it is really exciting to do as many different things as possible, you know, different genres and different styles and different sizes of movies, and it's nice just to sort of keep moving around as much as possible.
Yeah. Was there a project that you got offered that you already had a different engagement and you couldn't be in that you kind of... That comes to mind?
I've had a couple of projects where I've been cast, where the director's cast me and it all looks like it's going to go ahead. And then I've been replaced for a more financially sound actor. You know?
That's
when it's difficult. And, you know, and that's when you realize that you do have to sort of be... You can't just keep making indie movies all the time.
I would never do that. Never do that to you, Jimmy. Can I call you Jimmy?
You can call me Jimmy, yeah.
Don't do it, Jimmy.
Yeah, so that was a sting, man, because you knew that, you know, the sort of creative team of the people wanted you to play the role, and it was all kind of going ahead, and then you,
politics,
you know.
Politics, money.
And it's happened twice by the same actor.
No.
I know who it is.
Hold on. Then I think that's to bring us to our final round.
No, I have a couple quick questions, but I know who it is.
Well, ask the questions.
Because I read that you tested many times for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, no, it wasn't that.
No, it wasn't Chris Pratt. Yeah, no.
Chris Pine.
No, it wasn't. No. I'm not going to tell you who it is.
But...
If we guess it,
here's it. No, wait. We'll finish up correctly. We'll finish
Bill
up.
Cosby. You met Gerard Butler here recently, right?
Yeah.
He was in Geostorm with him.
Jerry. Oh, really?
Yeah, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry's a wild man, dude.
Yeah, man.
Jerry is a wild man.
You met him here, right?
Yeah. He came out after a set and said he was a big fan.
How long ago was this?
This is probably
not too long ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Not too long ago.
Yeah, one of his.
Yeah, he's fun, Jerry.
Yeah,
we were in New Orleans. That's where we shot that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was me and Jerry in New Orleans.
Oh, what was that like?
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you had to play wingman. I mean, Jerry's a beautiful eyes on the man. Like you don't even know where you are.
It ain't just his eyes, pal.
Really? Yeah, it seemed like just his eyes to me, and that's fine.
So Jerry would be your type, too?
Jerry would be the type that...
Because he's kind of the opposite of Theo James.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Jerry
Dude,
would be...
Pick your type.
Hookup.
Could be in a pervert.
Like just Theo James with
a bit of rough. Bit of rough.
Yeah.
Whereas Theo's kind of you.
Theo's locked
down. Talk about interior decorating.
Can we call him? Can we call him TJ, please?
No. So like, is there any way like tell him to call me?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Weird. Okay. I have a couple more questions I want to do before.
Okay. Cool.
Do you know on IMDb what your trademark is?
No, I don't.
What do you think you are known for?
My trademark.
Yes.
There's a thing on IMDb.
It says known for.
And it's a one word thing, or it's like a
two words, and it is a physical attribute.
I have no idea.
Theo, what would you say?
I would say probably...
Ashton Kutcher.
No. I would say long arms, probably. Do you have long arms? I don't know how tall you are, you can tell. Yeah.
No, the answer is pale skin.
Wow.
That's
something you don't tell someone.
That's cold.
No, pale skin isn't bad on pale skin.
Yeah, everybody wants to have pale skin.
You're not offended, right?
I'm hugely offended, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Apparently it's all.
Well, blame IMDb, not me.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a funny trademark to be.
Me too, man, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's really great.
Damn, I'm disappointed with that. Yeah.
No morals. No morals is your fun trade.
I thought long arms was bad, and then pale skin came. I was like, oh, shit.
I mean, beautiful eyes. Said beautiful eyes. Okay, I have a serious question, if we can switch real
okay,
quick.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask this, and I know I saw an interview where you answered it before, but how do I say this politely? You work with Kevin Spacey in 21, and... Did you see what people have talked about now in his behavior or the type of person he was?
No, I mean, Kevin, when we shot the film, was a very private person. Honestly, I didn't feel like I got to know him at all. I genuinely didn't. It was a quite a strange experience in that
really?
Sense. And
did it surprise you that this sort of stuff came out?
It surprises me that people just behave like that, you know what I mean? It's always sad to hear, but that's all I can really say. I mean, I didn't see anything firsthand.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like I knew him at all, really. Huh.
When you see like behaviors like this and hear, you know, things about, you know, people like, you know, get involved in, you know, some semblance of the dark arts, if you will, Do you think Hollywood sometimes has enough like empathy or understanding for trying to figure out like if people are suffering from a sickness, or as opposed to sometimes just, you know, kind of throwing them to the wolves, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's so hard because I don't surround myself with people who might behave like that, you know
right.
what I mean? And so, like, I mean, I'm just not instinctively sort of drawn to that kind of behavior or those types of people. You know, I've met Harvey Weinstein a few times along the road. You know, you sort of know pretty quickly he's not a good person, do you know
right.
what I mean? You can just sort of feel that energy off him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, you sort of give him a wide berth, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a shame because the film industry and my experience in the film industry is a really positive one, and it's a real sort of family, sort of way in which we sort of create the work. Everybody sort of comes into this sort of false family for that period of time when you're shooting a film, and you sort of hold on to each other for dear life, you know, and you trust each other because you're all each other has, you know. And it's an intense experience often shooting a film, and you're there for sort of months, and you're often away from home, and
wow.
you're slightly vulnerable in that sort of a sense. You know, you're not in your everyday life, and everybody's in that situation together. You know, so the makeup team become your family, the
right.
costume department become your best friends, the, you know, the grips and the sparks
right.
are your drinking buddies, and, you know, you all really are a sort of traveling circus, and it's sad when somebody, you know, is amongst that's upsetting that.
Yeah. It's
that way of life, you know what I mean? That way of being. You know.
There's a lot, I would think. I mean, the business idyllically is, you know, that everyone's for the art and wants to do it, but there are some people in this business who suck.
Big time.
Who are in there
for
other reasons, and I'm not just Kevin Spacey or whatever, but tons of people I'm sure you've run into
over
the years, and that's what makes it awful business to be in a little bit. Not in overall, but that part of it is awful.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a shame. And it happens in all walks of life.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just power, isn't it? It's just power hungry.
Yeah, I think it's power. Yeah, I agree.
People tripping off that. And
I agree. A lot of power in power, like in an ego, can be such a, you know, we don't look at what an infection that can be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you couple that with, you know, people that have a lot of money or have a lot of, you know, access.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they're getting away with it too, they're getting signals that are saying like, "This is okay to do this."
Right.
Have you worked
somewhere
with
in their brain? They think this is somehow
acceptable.
Justifiable. You know what I mean?
Have you worked with people not in a like, you know, sexual whatever sense who you just thought were assholes because they were so full of themselves?
No, honestly,
Most of the bigger stars are cool?
The bigger stars are often the ones that are great, you know, and they've got there because they're good people. You know, honestly, like most of the like really big actors that I've worked with have been just amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Sometimes it's more the sort of lesser known ones who have a more of a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Who are a bit more aggressive in their sort of,
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It's interesting.
All right, three quick questions. What's your beer of choice?
It's called a Doom Bar.
Tell me more.
DOOMBAR.
Okay.
And it's an ale. It's a, you know, you drink it in England, it's warm. It's not like a cold, ice cold beer. Right. It's like an ale, you know. Okay. So
sounds like
I drink those now because, like, you know, I try and curb my drinking a little bit. It's like an old man's beer.
Sounds like a plague beverage. That's what it sounds like.
That sounds like a hard Sunday. Favorite spice.
Yeah,
girl.
It's like you would have a Sunday roast and you would sit in the pub by a fire and you would drink a sip on a few Doombars.
Favorite spice girl.
Favorite spice girl. I think when I was younger, it was Scary Spice.
Which one's that, Mel B?
Mel B.
They are supposedly getting back together.
She was here, her and Stefan?
No, I
met her at
Spice Girls. Spice Girls.
Yeah, she came and did our podcast. Yeah.
She's a wild child. She's cool, too.
Yeah, she seemed crazy. But when they were all younger, she was definitely the one that I had
nice.
A little crush on.
And lastly, what's your favorite book?
My favorite book? Gulliver's Travels, maybe. Good it's answer. An amazing book. And an amazing story that kind of goes through everything.
Lovely. I just love that. It's just the sweetest.
If Gulliver went hard, son.
Those travels would
all right,
be
that'll
short.
Be cool. Yeah.
Okay, so our last round, Jim, here's how we do it.
Okay.
We each, usually we put the guest through some sort of, you know, it's like a brief little moment game. So Matt and I are going to leave.
Is it quick fire questions?
No.
It's really fast.
Good. I'm so bad
at this. No, it's not that.
No, you did good, by the way. That was good.
So we have to think of if there were, let's put three, we each name three, and Ace will tell us if one of them was right.
He's not going
to
tell
us. But he doesn't have to tell us which one, just overall. And if we get it right as a group, then we both win. How about that?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, explain that again.
Help.
I know what you're talking about, but are you talking about the girl that he was maybe dated? Or you're talking about the actor who he's been replaced with?
Yes.
Two times.
So here's what we would like to do. We would like to each name three actors. Okay, just hear me out. We would like to each name three actors. And at the end, if one of us got it right, you don't have to say which one, but you just say yes, as collectively you guys got...
He was in that.
He was in that. And then we, as a group, we both win the episode.
Only if you feel comfortable.
Yeah,
you don't want to do
it. And if you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. And we could name four if you want to widen the pool so it gives you a little bit more.
Yeah, then we'll do like this person,
no,
this person,
three,
and
three
Betty
each,
White.
Three each.
So we got a shot here. I already know who it is. I'm going to guess, and I already know.
Okay.
I think if I can remember the person's name.
I'll say my first one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Jake Gyllenhaal for number one.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Jake.
I'm going to go with Daniel Radcliffe. Is that a person?
Is that a person?
It's a person. He's probably half my age, I would say, but that's cool.
But he's looking older.
Yeah, all right. Okay. No, it was a good one.
All right. I'm going to go with Leo DiCaprio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't see that very much. Shoot, I know who this is, too. I had it a minute ago, and I forgot. Oh, it's... Oh, who's the guy on the pirate ship who's like the pretty boy? They don't really need him on there.
Oh, yeah, Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Thank you.
Orlando
Bloom in college, though.
What does that mean?
He just has some kind of a college. It looks like it was just... I'm just thinking all like college world. I'm just putting him in today because of his attire.
Okay, and then...
Okay, yeah, one each, one left.
I'm going to go with...
It's good company you're in.
Yeah, no, that's true.
No, these are...
He's as excited, yeah.
That's very flattering. I mean, that's very good.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I'm going to go with... Tobey Maguire.
Wow, that was a reach. I'm going to go with Long. Who's that boy, Long? Long is his name. L-O-N-G.
Justin Long?
Justin Long.
Justin
Long. Justin and Anthony, why don't you fire one in, Anthony? Let's throw that in that bonus.
Chris Pine.
All right. Okay, I've written them all down.
Yeah.
None of you got it right.
Oh man!
I wanted to get it.
Wow.
We tried.
So what does that mean? We both lose?
We both lose.
Close.
It was the only way we were going to get it. I think if we just asked him to each pick
it. That's true. That was very manipulative.
It was a good game. I was like, there were moments where I was feeling pretty nervous, man. But no, it was Ashton Kutcher.
The Detroit Baltimore?
That's a guess.
Well, everybody, check out Hard Sun, which is on Hulu right now. You can check it out. You can watch all 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. Hopefully there'll be a season 2, because I'm sure that you can't wrap up the whole end of the world in 6 episodes.
Yeah, definitely not. You know, it feels like actually the first season feels kind of almost like the pre... the prelogue to when the story
is there
I have no idea, but it feels like the story is just getting started.
So you all have to watch it to support that, so that Jim can continue to work. Jimmy, my friend Jimmy over here, continue to work. And it sounds like a really like solid thinking show too. Something that
it sounds intriguing, man. I'm excited to check it out, and we'll share the link too on our social medias too. Whenever,
go ahead.
And it starts tonight, but this won't air tonight, right?
It'll be on. You can catch it now on Hulu.
Okay, cool.
And by the way, what are you doing for the big 4-0 birthday coming up?
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like I need to sort of organize something. I never know where I'm going to be. Do you know what I mean?
I'll do it for you.
So like, I know, but people keep asking me, are you going to have a party? And I feel like I probably should.
Like a big, like, are you going to do, are you a blowout party guy?
Yeah, if I'm going to do it, then I'll probably go big, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the party you want
to
be at.
And you got to, yeah, you have to celebrate your life at certain points,
yeah.
you know?
Especially
no, so if
you're,
exactly.
Years.
So if I know that I'm going to be in London, then I'll go for
will,
it.
Will Theo be there, maybe?
Theo James?
Yeah.
I can invite him, yeah.
And if
I'd fly over.
All right, let's make it happen.
Really, you'd fly over for that?
For Theo James?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be creepy stalkery.
Yeah, not at all. Flying over there for a birthday party to meet a man.
What is it about Theo? Tell me about
him. He's gorgeous.
Theo. He's gorgeous.
So
it's
he
looks.
Seems like, no, he is. I don't really know much about him, but I've seen him. He's very charming in interviews I've seen. And you're right. He's very put together and very like...
Clean.
But that's not the only thing I like, because I'm really into this, too. Not to say that you're not, you know, put together and whatnot, but this works for me, too.
Where does this end?
It's a very wide range of things that I'm hoping for.
Sounds like a lawsuit thing.
I fall somewhere in between Gerard Butler and Theo James.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
I like that.
All right.
And there's a wonderful cookbook out there called Our Syria. That you can check out. Our Syria.
Our Syria.
O-U-R.
O-U-R Syria.
Like an hour. Of
I know. Yeah. You guys talk differently than me.
Oh, man. If people bought that, I would be super happy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really good. I've always wanted to be serenaded by Jim Sturgeon. did you see Across the Universe?
Yeah, the one with the Beatles music?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see it. That's cool, man.
You were amazing. Can
thank
I get,
you,
like,
man.
Two words.
Never gonna happen.
Two words.
Never gonna happen.
I can't tell you my fun.
Picture me.
You don't do it. Here's my Across the Universe.
Just for the listeners, that was Theo was singing that. That wasn't me. That like.
That's good, man. I think we're good.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right, guys. Thank you. All right.